1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is a very famous text from the Bible. And I remember in my Church of England school, saying it in assembly, reading it from a prayer book. And evidently we get a glimpse here into what some of the false teachers were saying, whose theology John is challenging. And it would appear, they're saying, that they have no sin. Now it could be they're saying that, look, we've never sinned, we were born good. There are two types of people, good people and bad people. We are the good ones. Alternatively, they're saying, look, we used to sin, but, you know, we stopped sinning several years ago. We are now perfect. Well, either way, there is a problem. Because John is saying anybody who claims that they have no sin is deceived. Now, I only have to look at my life for about 5 minutes to remind myself that I have sin. But these people are claiming a spiritual power or authority in which they're claiming to be perfect. False teaching, false gospels, false preachers will always tell you you're better than you are. Oh, sure, you make the odd mistake. Hey, don't worry about it. We're all human. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, we're only human. We're all human. What they mean is, you know, yeah, we make the odd mistake, but apart from that, that's not a problem. The Bible doesn't say we're all human. Of course we are. It says all have sinned. And we inherited a sinful inclination. We're naturally inclined to evil. We were born that way. We couldn't help it. And yet even in those areas of life that we can and do help, we sin. So we can't just blame Father Adam. We have our own blame to bear. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Ironically, if you acknowledge that you're a fallen, sinful human being, that actually means you've got the truth within you. You've embraced it, you've accepted it. So verse 8 appears to be rather doomy and gloomy. And yet verse 9 offers an incredible hope. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. If you know you've sinned, the gospel says God will forgive. If you say you haven't sinned, you still have, but God will not forgive. There is a need here for confession. Now, don't build a wooden box and expect to find me sitting in it. You to tell me all your dirty secrets. I don't want to know them. The confession here is not to an earthly priest, but to the great high priest. And he knows what you've done wrong, but he needs you to acknowledge that you've done wrong. Without an acknowledgement of your sin, you cannot receive his forgiveness or his salvation. Furthermore, we aren't just to know it and acknowledge it, but we are to admit it. If someone falls out with us, we do like to hear them say, sorry. They might be feeling sorry, but we need to hear it. And here John is saying, if you know you are a sinner, confess it. Admit it. Be honest. Let what you're feeling and what you know in your heart come out via your mouth. And having done so, you can then rely upon his faithfulness to forgive. Sometimes if you admit you've done wrong to somebody, you fear that that relationship will end. They'll think less of you. They won't want to spend time with you. But here, ironically, it's the other way around. The more you confess your sinfulness to God, the more of his faithfulness you will witness as he continues to forgive everything that you've done wrong. And he doesn't just forgive everything you've done. You know, we had some teaching on Thursday from a certain cult, about a certain cult, not from a certain cult, that effectively said, look, you know, you can be forgiven everything you've done, but don't sin from that point forward. Because if you do, you'll be in trouble. Well, thank God, as long as I keep acknowledging my sin, and he keeps on being faithful, I will keep on being forgiven. That, of course, is not a license for me to go out and do evil, because I've got to keep on confessing that I've done it wrong. He is faithful. He will forgive all of those sins. Furthermore, he will forgive, but he will also cleanse. He will make clean that which has been sullied and spoiled. And when the Lord performs an act of cleansing in the heart does change. Probably not to the extent here that we never sin again, but certainly. But our desires change. The closer we get to Christ, the more we love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates. Our tastes change. Our desires change. We will pray for things that will bring him honour and not self-honour. So having been forgiven, keep on being forgiven, we keep on being cleansed. And again in verse 10 there is another reminder. He reiterates what he said in verse 8. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar. And his word is not in us. Evidently, these false teachers are saying, we are teaching the true word. We have never sinned. Well, John says, if they claim that, that proves that they are liars and must not be heeded or listened to or obeyed. So, the real meaning of the text, I guess, is, you know, don't listen to these false teachers. But the wonderful hope for people like me is I can pray and keep relying upon him to forgive me. I might be a dedicated sinner, but he is more dedicated as a forgiver and a cleanser. And that's why we can go to heaven. Because our sin is great, but his grace is greater. And therefore, the God we come to in prayer tonight is gracious, he's faithful, and he's willing to take people like you and me who've sinned and made a mess. Thank God. And is able to restore and make whole and make new. And he doesn't give up on a bad job. He keeps on working until that day we stand before him and we will then be like him. Be encouraged, therefore. Amen.